Right, hello everyone. We will be back in Ephesians next week, I promise you. I've said promise that. I'm hoping that's actually right. I've just said that. Yes, we are back in Ephesians next week, aren't we? Someone, one of the elders, nod at me. Yes, I'm not getting much feedback, but I think we are. What a good start. We're doing something slightly different today. Just thinking, how do we start the year? How might you look back on 2025? I don't know what your 2025 was like. I don't know what your Christmas has been like and these last few weeks. Well, the last few weeks for us has involved some rest, but it's also involved buying a new car. So I'm just going to show you some pictures, hopefully. Look at that, there we go. That is our last three cars, including the current one. Back just before Andrew was born, we bought a Vauxhall Zafira, like many people of that era at that time. We bought a Vauxhall Zafira. It lasted us pretty well. We got through, I'm not entirely sure, 2013, 2014, 2015 maybe. And then the gearbox went. So we got rid of that car. We had to get rid of that car. It was dead. And then we got, sorry for this wonderful picture in a Leicester car park underground of our Ford C-Max on the right-hand side. We bought that, and it lasted very well again. I can't remember when, so that was 2014, 15, 16 time, right through until just before Christmas, when someone drove into it. And the minor damage that was caused by someone scraping on the side of our 16-year-old Ford C-Max wrote it off. Insurance company just went, yeah, we're not repairing that. So we had to get rid of it. And so just before Christmas, we had to buy a car. So we've now got this slightly quirky orange with winky face wing mirrors Vauxhall Mokka. So this is what we did before Christmas. I should have had to zoom in on the wing mirrors. But on the wing mirrors, both wing mirrors are winking at you. There you go. Why am I telling you that? Obviously, that was part of our story leading up to Christmas. It was a bit stressful. A car. If you've got a car, you suddenly realize that you rely on having a car. You can very easily rely on it's going to get me from where to where I need to go. Suddenly, when you don't have the car anymore, you suddenly realize how much you're relying on your car. Those cars lasted some time. They served us well. They didn't ultimately cost us too much, I think, for the service they gave us. But eventually, they either wore out or they were damaged. They needed to be replaced. I'm just in the lead up thinking about that, and then over Christmas, this verse popped into my head. It's Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord, the word of our God, endures forever. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Very clear picture. You can look at vivid green grass, we've got a picture of that, and beautiful flowers. But grass is vulnerable. Flowers are fragile. If we look at the next picture, grass withers. Flowers fall or wilt. Too little water, a little too much heat. In fact, if you go to the supermarket and buy flowers, we're presented with the wonderful claim that these will last 5 days. I mean, obviously those flowers are dead. We can keep them going with water, but eventually they're going to fall and wilt and fade. Temporary, fragile, vulnerable. Grass withers, flowers fade. So much is temporary. So much doesn't last. So much cannot be counted on. Ultimately, like our car. It did well. But ultimately, it doesn't last forever. Our mood, our expectations, our joy can so easily be dependent or founded in such uncertain or temporary things. Perhaps we could end up counting on a perfect restful time over a holiday. Or even a good journey to get to the holiday. We got an amazing story of the fact that actually, for the first time in many, many trips down to West Sussex, we didn't get held up on the M1 or the M25 in either direction. Has anyone else had the same experience over this Christmas period? Anyone been going down the M1 or the M25? Same experience? Did all right? Amazing. Amazing. There were no roadworks. There was nothing. We got down to just outside Horsham in 4 hours, including a stop for food. And the same on the way back. But you can't count on it. Next time it will be 6, 5.5 if we're lucky. You can't count on a good journey down the M1. Christmas for us has been a good time, but even so, we've had family members not well. I've come back having twinged my back for the umpteenth time. Will these things put a damper on things? Are we relying on having a perfect time? Are we relying on everything going right? We could trust in a holiday, something we've been looking forward to. We could trust in a friendship or a promotion or in money or whatever it may be. The scripture so powerfully says it. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. As we enter a new year, what do you see in front of you? Perhaps you're poised and ready to go back to school? Excited? Oh, that was just about there. Or back to work? Maybe you've been back to work already. Whatever might be coming up. Excitement, anxiety, pain, fear, uncertainty, whatever may be there. So easy for us to have our eyes on what is around us. We can look around and be fearful of what we see. We can be aware of the challenges that we can see. We can see big world events going on. We can see wars and economic challenge. We could even be looking at the news and trying to work out what's going on between the US and Venezuela. Just these last few days, what's going on? What's happening? Where is it going to lead? We could be aware of the reality of a world that's against God, a world that needs God. Or as a church, where are we going? How are we going to move forward? Or even personally. You might see challenges perhaps in your own finances, a health challenge, many other things. They're just the fact of going back to school. What's happening tomorrow? Perhaps we could be aware of disappointment. Things have not worked out as we hoped. Perhaps people have not come through for us or let us down. We might be fearful of what we see. We might find hope in what we have. Whether in our own plans, our ability, our wisdom, or in the ideas of others. We're in a world full of ideas, so many different things that people can come up with. A world that thinks it knows better on so many things. We could put hope in the action of leaders or in government. Or as I mentioned previously, perhaps their actions lead us to more fear and more cynicism. Or perhaps we could say, well, we'll be content as long as we have this or that. As long as things continue as they are, it doesn't get any worse. As long as that new car keeps working, as long as we're all healthy and my back doesn't get any worse, As long as nothing gets worse. As long as not, we're not hit with a brand new challenge tomorrow. Woke up this morning to see on the New Frontiers Facebook page that Liberty Church in Amsterdam read that they'd recently lost their pastor to cancer. And now they're entering the new year having just had their building completely decimated by fire. Things change. Things hit at a moment's notice. Things can come. How are we facing the new year? Where is our hope? Because in reality, we could put our hope in people. We could put our hope in ourselves. We could put our hope in so many different earthly things. From the tiny little things of the everyday right up to huge things and governments that are making big decisions and family members who you don't want to let you down, or the money in your bank account, the job you might have or the one you want to have. Grass withers and flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. We can trust this. We can stand on this. We can count on this. If we will live it out, if we will believe it. It's always true. It's always trustworthy. And so this morning, I'm going to read us Isaiah chapter 40. And just help us focus in again, both on the trustworthiness of his word, on how good God is as described by this passage, that we may trust him as we go into this new year. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read the whole chapter. And these words, I'll get there in a sec. These words, we see Isaiah prophesying the word of God to the people of Judah as they're in exile. They're in trouble. They're in not a great place. And then here is the word of the Lord. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket, They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40 forms a part of an incredible declaration to God's people. As I said, to the people of Judah in exile, telling of the salvation that God is going to bring. Bringing comfort and hope. Declaring the glory of God and the wonder of who he is. And throughout, we see this comparison of God with man. His faithfulness, man's faithfulness. His might, man's might. His power, our power. And the whole point this morning is just to remind us once again, look at this God who we can trust. Look at his word that stands forever and stand on it. It's an incredible picture in these verses of the never-ending, all-knowing, all-powerful God who created all things, particularly in verses 12 to 14 and then on in 18 to 20. In verse 12, these incredible questions. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord? Or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Can we have the next picture? Who can measure out the heavens? Only our God. He's the one who holds the whole world in his hands. It's just a picture. But there's a sense, look how big he is. Look how great he is. Who can compare with him? Has anyone measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Only God. Could anyone mark off the size of the heavens with the breadth of his hand? Only God. Who could weigh the mountains on scales? Only God. Who did he ask for help? No one. No one could. Who could teach him knowledge and understanding? No one. Because he knows everything. This is our God, the one who holds the whole world in his hands, the one who made everything. Who can compare? Verse 18 carries on, with whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? Then he goes on to talk about idols and the very fact that an idol needs to be made by a person. You get some person to get some metal and make something, and then you think, can this compare to the God of the universe? And you think, well, actually, even some people, they might even be able to afford metal, so then they get some wood, and they get someone to shape that so that they can build something that at least might not fall over, unless God commands it to. You remember that story? How can it compare? Who can compare? What person? What statue? What car? What government? What anything can compare to the God who holds the whole world in his hands? A mighty, awesome, faithful God who is beyond compare. That's the sense of the question. With whom then will you compare God? Don't try. There is no comparison. There is no one who compares. Conversely, what do we read? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the fields. Then later on in verse 15, surely the nations, the very nations, are like a drop in a bucket. We have the next picture. Regarded as dust on the scales. All the nations, compared to God's, compared to his might, his power, his glory, just a drop in a bucket. Just the dust that you sweep off the scales, because it's basically saying zero. Nothing in comparison to him. Compared to our gods, nothing compares. Do we see the greatness of our gods? And conversely, the limitations of man and of ourselves? You see, as we enter 2026, we could put our hope in many things. We could put our hope in our own plans and thoughts and wisdom. We could put our hope in governments getting it right. We could put our hope in the money in our bank account. We could put our hope in all sorts. And similarly, as we look into the year, many things could cause fear. Oh no, that's too big. That's too powerful. That's too strong. What are we going to do? Well, this is what God said to the people of God in a pretty tough spot. In exile, ruled over, dominated by Babylon, that mighty, powerful empire. They likely could feel that sense. Oof, this is too big. This is too big for us. But they're exhorted in this passage, no, don't you see? All those things, even this vast, powerful empire of Babylon, is but a drop in a bucket. It's dust on the scales. Its people are like grasshoppers compared to God, compared to him. And as we contemplate these words, do you see that in all things there is one who we can trust? We have a source of hope. No, but Rich, look at all the things that are happening in the world. See, what if this carries on like this? Look, where is it heading? What's going to happen? What if, as Dan was praying earlier? Well, you might say, you don't know what I'm facing. And no, I don't. And I'm not being flippant. And I'm not suggesting that things suddenly become easy. But there is a God who is bigger than all that we are facing. Again, Dan was quoting this as he prays. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, what then should we say in response to these things? Romans 8 verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ? In fact, Isaiah 40 itself is pointing us to Christ. Verses 3 and 4 is how John the Baptist kicks us off in Mark's gospel. In Mark chapter 1. If I can get to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it's written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So those words in Isaiah carry on, prophesying of him who was to come, the salvation that was to come in Christ. In Isaiah 40, Isaiah's bringing God's word that comforts the people with news that he will bring salvation. That all empires, however big, however strong, all people, however impressive, however scary, will fall like grass that withers. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, we have this sure and certain hope. We can trust him who is above all. We can stand firm on the word of God because he sent his son to be our savior. Because he sent his son to die in our place. Because John the Baptist got to be that messenger who prepared the way for Jesus coming. To be our savior. To die in our place and pay the biggest price that needed to be paid, the price for our sin. Whatever other problem we might face, whatever other challenge we might see, whatever other thing we might look to trust in, the biggest problem we face is our sin. See, even in looking into the year, we can point to others, whether that be in terms of good ideas or big hopes, but also in terms of challenges and letdowns and big threats. But the truth is, I am like grass. My faithfulness is like the flowers that wither and die. I need a savior. I need Jesus. What can separate us? Nothing. If we are in Christ. Because his word stands. Because no one compares to him. Because no one can snatch his sheep from his hands. You see, as we enter into 2026, the world thinks it knows better. We, in our bad moments, think we know better. We could put our trust in so many things, but they will fall. In 2026, let's trust in the Lord and in his mighty words. Let's submit to him and follow him. For there is no better place to be. I looked on Liberty Church's website this morning. They put a message up just detailing the situation where they were, and they said this: while much remains uncertain, we take great comfort in knowing that our hope rests in the living God and in his faithfulness. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know the one who does. And that gives us peace as we move forward together. So my encouragement as we get into 2026, let's get into his word. Let's build our lives on this that stands forever. I've just started again looking at Bible in a Year with Nikki Gumbel. You can do that if you want. I saw Kim posted up some pictures. There's some Bible reading guides that are available in the library. Whatever works well for you, get into this word. And come and pray. Come and pray tonight. Let's seek God for this year. Let's seek God for what he has planned. Come and join us for prayer and fasting on the 18th of January. I'm going to finish by reading those last verses in Isaiah 40. Beautiful sense of trusting in him. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's pray.